lines, sorting through the media bias, exposing the propaganda, and challenging you to use your brain. It's time to tap into the truth.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed time to tap into the truth. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing. We are broadcasting live tonight from historic downtown Oliver Springs, Tennessee. And I'm excited to be on the air with you tonight. As you've noticed, I've been a little inconsistent with the shows as of late between the technical issues with the home studio and dealing with personal issues, which most of the loyal listeners know about by now, and I'm just not going to dwell on it anymore. There's no more excuses. It's time to take action. We've got to get back into the fight. There are too many things going on, too much at stake. The very heart and soul of our country, of this nation, all the things that makes the United States great, everything that makes this country completely and totally awesome. And it is. I don't care what your attitude is about little things here, little things there, nitpick this, nitpick that. This is still the greatest nation on the face of the planet. Because no other place has the same level of individual freedom still available. And we've lost a truckload of them because nobody's standing up for them. We have. We've seen our individual liberties constantly be eroded away since the inception of the Constitution in the first place, because since the beginning, there have been would-be tyrants that have sought to sidestep and move around the Constitution. I have said it before, and I will say it probably a million more times before I take my last breath, assuming that I have an average lifespan, which is probably more than any one person should assume. But anybody who sees the Constitution of the United States as an obstacle to their agenda is an enemy of the United States. Not just the country, but her people. And we really have to understand, when conservatives talk about this nation, they're talking about we the people. They're talking about the individual Americans. Our nation is not our government. Our government is meant to represent our nation. Our government is there to provide basic services and to ensure our basic liberties, not to try and take them away. Unfortunately, that's where we're at. That's what we see every day. We have groups of people determined to take away our individual liberties. And how is it that we fight back? Well, conservatives continue to get a bad rap because we say follow the Constitution. Now, a lot of people are confused about what a constitutionalist is and what's the difference between a constitutionalist and a conservative. Well, there are lots of people that claim to be conservative that aren't constitutionalists, but every single constitutionalist is conservative by nature. The so-called progressives have infiltrated both parties. There are people claiming to be conservative that obviously are not. There are people that run under the flag of Republican that are far from conservative. The Republican Party is supposed to be the party of conservatism. But we have several people with an R at the end of their name that don't meet that manifesto. Those are important things to keep in mind. Looking at voting records, seeing how things have actually unfolded as we move towards the midterm elections, which are approaching at breakneck pace right now. Early voting is going on right now here in Tennessee, in most counties. Primary voting is what's going on right now. But there are several offices, local offices, like county commission and certain judges and the local politics that are being determined right now. Election day itself is in August, and then we turn around and vote again in November. Right now in Tennessee, one of the biggest races we have going on is for the Senate seat currently occupied by longtime career politician, Lamar Alexander. Lamar Alexander right now does not understand why, honest to goodness, grassroots conservatives, mostly Tea Party types, are unhappy with him. He doesn't understand why there would be a challenge, and he certainly doesn't understand why someone like Joe Carr, not to mention folks that have been on this broadcast before, like Daddy Page, who's been on multiple times, doesn't understand why these people are willing to go out and spend their own money when need be to run against him, because he thinks he's done the perfect job. I mean, you know, I'm not about to argue with his resume. He's done great things for the state of Tennessee during the course of his political career. But as with any person that has sat in the cesspool that is D.C. for very long, slowly the corruption takes place. He voted for amnesty, which has got to be one of the hottest topics right now because of what is going on at the border. And that's really the primary topic for today's conversation. It's really about image. It's really about what is going on with the occupier. Now, since it's been a while since I've been on, some of you may have forgotten, some of you may not have heard me make the reference, but when I say the occupier, I'm talking about the person occupying the White House. I have yet to be convinced that Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, or whatever alias he's going by at the moment, whether it be Barry or Harold or whatever social security number he's using at the moment, I have a hard time believing he actually won the last election. And it's brought into question whether or not he ever won the first election. But regardless, I can firmly believe that he could have won the first time because of liberal soft-mindedness and white guilt, which is a concept I really don't understand. But maybe that's because if this was back in the Civil War era, my family would probably be among the poor white trash. So I probably would have been grown up and treated worse than the slaves. And don't try and take that out of context. Historically, the, quote, poor white trash were treated far worse than slaves were treated. That by no means means that I think that slavery was okay. All right, don't try and stretch it. Don't try to take it there. You're wasting your time and you're wasting your breath. Didn't say that. Not about to say it. It's never okay to own another person. Never. Okay? I'm on the record there. But what we've had going on the last several weeks is essentially the world is on fire a little bit more than it has been in the previous months. We have a humanitarian crisis going on at our southern border, the likes of which I don't have enough time in a week's worth of full 3-hour broadcast to go through what is wrong with what's happening at the border, not the least of which is moronic statements by people like Mimi Pelosi, who just wants to take everyone up home with her. I didn't see her make an effort to take any of those children home with her, by the way. Just hollow words. After spending what really amounts to a few minutes of her very, very precious time, I'm sure. So we have this humanitarian crisis, and that was actually the word usage from Barack Obama. The occupier himself said it is a humanitarian crisis right before he asked for basically $4 billion of taxpayer money to take care of these poor, unfortunate children. Meanwhile, you have people like Harry Reid, who, you know, let's face it, people used to crack on Ronald Reagan in those last days about him constantly napping and how together he was, his mental and emotional faculties at the time. I've really got to raise up questions about where Harry Reid's mental faculties are, because he literally believes, he made the statement, as if he believed it at any rate, that the border is secure. I would be really interested in knowing what his definition of secure happens to be, because we have coyotes laying down suppression fire at border agents to allow these poor unfortunate souls that they're trying to smuggle across the border to get into the water and swim across. While, surprisingly enough, at checkpoints, we're open. During this entire time, the border has been open. We've been letting people come through. They have bridges, temporary bridges built to let them walk across. But the coyotes won't let these people do this. Why? Well, it's all about image. They want those people coming across the border to think that the coyotes are still their friends, that the drug cartels are the ones that saw that they got here. They've been picking the weakest people out of certain groups and throwing them into the water at one point and then having the people cross at another, knowing that the weakest swimmers or the people that just can't make it on their own would require additional assistance. And who's going to offer that assistance? That's our Border Patrol agents, who are completely overwhelmed, by the way. There has been almost as much gunfire during certain days of the past 2 weeks at our southern border as there has been exchange between Hamas and Israel over the past few days. You've got Hamas shooting rockets into Israel, Israel taking measured responses, and then the world crying foul because Israel protects itself. You have a Ukrainian issue that's brand new because of a new Malaysian aircraft that was shot down. But it's still all about image. You have a reporter quitting Russia Now, a propaganda network that's carried here in the United States on most major network and cable providers. Cable and satellite providers, I mean. You got a reporter quit because she realized that it was just propaganda. They were being told what to report, even though no evidence supported it. Why? Because it's about image. The occupier himself refused to take a visit to the border while he was in the state of Texas last week, doing fundraising. And his excuse for not going to the border, his own words, his statement, I'm not about photo ops. He's not about photo ops. This is the man who took an inappropriate selfie at the funeral of a foreign dignitary because he happened to be close to a hottie who happens to be a world leader. This is a guy who has taken every opportunity to be seen with the right people, rolling with celebrities. This guy's not about the photo op. Is anybody out there buying this? I mean, seriously. If anybody is listening live, and you want to hop into the chat room right now, and you happen to be a Barack Obama supporter, and you still think he's doing a great job, hop on there, because I want to hear your explanation as to what it is that he's doing so good. Because I don't honestly see how anybody on either side of the aisle could still think that this guy is worth his salt. His statement about the Ukrainian aircraft, Flight 17, his statement there was made at a fundraiser. Different fundraiser than the two we were mentioned earlier in Texas, where he comes out all happy, bebop, hey, everybody, it's great to be here, woohoo. And then he goes on to bumble about how it may be a terrible tragedy. Not that it is, but it might be. And that the first priority is to find out if there were any American citizens on board. Okay, well, the American president should be concerned about American citizens anytime they're abroad. It is, after all, part of the government's responsibility, part of the executive's primary responsibility, to try and ensure the safety of American citizens abroad. But to say that the first priority in a situation like that is to find out if there are any Americans there, and that's, even if you think that's the case, to say that publicly, knowing that the international community is watching, well, let's just say that one more occasion of inappropriate behavior, shall we? I think we've become a little desensitized to it. I wasn't always a fan of George W. He did some things I don't agree with. And he had a way of coming across sometimes like he was a bumpkin, and every now and then you even wondered if he was even sober. But all in all, I tended to think that he's a guy who let his heart lead him. And he really had probably some bad advisors around him. But to come out and publicly make a statement like this, it's just, it's asinine. And he spends less than 3 minutes time addressing, and then he just jumps right back into the fundraiser mode. It's all about the party. It's all about, hey, we're here to do this. And I can't help but think, as recently as Ronald Reagan, that speech would have been very different. The whole speech would have been a little bit longer, would have sounded like more genuine concern and questioning who's responsible. And I tend to believe wholeheartedly that he would have cut his time at the fundraiser short. He would have explained to that crowd, I'm sorry, but now it's time for me to go be presidential, to go do the work of being the president, which is more than just showing up at parties and wasting taxpayer dollars. And what is it, a total of 5 months now, total downtime vacations that he's spent at Martha's Vineyard, because that's where he's at right now. On vacation one more time at Martha's Vineyard. At taxpayers' expense. The President of the United States should have went to the border when this mass crossing of unaccompanied minors began. I keep thinking back to George W. and the heat he took from looking down at the Katrina devastation, doing a flyby. Now, his excuse there was is he did not want to distract or take away from the resources being used to try and help the people. Most folks didn't buy that. The media didn't give him any cover for that whatsoever. I don't know if he meant that or if that was a strategy. I don't know if he was playing politics. But I do know that he took a lot of heat over that. But at least he was there in the air and saw what was going on. Maybe part of the problem is our election process. Maybe part of the problem is the fact that you now have to spend so much money that you really literally have to spend more time fundraising than legislating if you're in the Senate or the House. You have to spend more time fundraising than leading if you're in the executive branch. Maybe that's part of the problem. I mean, other than the honor and prestige and all the little perks that go with, where else do you know of that people are willing to spend millions of dollars to get a job that pays somewhere between $250,000 to $400,000 to $500,000 a year? You're never going to recoup your losses in your campaign expenses. Of course, that's why they very seldomly use their own money. But again, if you have to spend so much time raising money to try and keep that job that you don't have time to actually do that job, maybe that's where the real reform needs to be made. Forget about immigration reform. Let's, again, look at election reform. The biggest problem here, though, is that there's been absolutely zero leadership from the White House. If there is leadership going on there, it is leadership of a fashion that is contradictory to the values of the American people. The little stunt, which obviously had to have come from the executive branch, orders came down that the FAA pulled, saying that they're going to pull the plug on American flights going into Israel for 24 hours because it's just not safe. What's that about? I mean, it was done in such a way to kind of make you think, oh, is Hamas really that bad? Has it gotten that out of hand? But you really need to stop for a second and think about it. Look at what that really says. You're talking about one of the safest airports in the world. And it got that way because the Israelis, they've been living in a very hostile environment for quite a while now. They understand what's necessary in order to protect themselves. They also understand that their lifeblood basically comes through that airport more than anything else. If they thought for a second that there was a real threat of a particular plane being shot down, they would close that airport themselves. So this is really more about it's a PR thing to try and keep focus on Israel. Is Israel safe? Why is Israel not safe? You have people marching in Miami saying, "We are Hamas." Whose fault is the Israeli issue with Hamas? Is it the Israelis? All Israel wants to do is live in peace with its neighbors. They've made concession after concession. There have been multiple overtures made in the recent days for a ceasefire. Israel has been willing to sit down at each and every one of those. They were willing to accept the ceasefire and start negotiations again. It's Hamas that's turned it down. The goal is different. Hamas has in its charter that its ultimate goal is the destruction of the Jewish state and to wipe out every last Jewish person on the planet. Not really sure I would be willing to negotiate with somebody who has that as their primary objective. But again, the Israelis know how to protect themselves. And they also understand something very basic. blessings from God and protections from God come from those who are obedient. The Israelis are not bloodthirsty. They're not savages. They're not hiding behind women and children. They're not launching missiles from schools into civilian areas. Have some civilians gotten hurt? People that call themselves Palestinians, have some civilians gotten hurt during this conflict? Has Israeli weapons injured innocent people? Yes. Unfortunately, that's true. But a big part of that reason is because Hamas is hiding in and amongst them. And also, unfortunately, no matter how high-tech our technology gets, nothing's ever perfect. But while the world is on fire, while Hamas and Israel are trading punches, the threat of all-out war still looming, while Ukraine and Russia still squabble over borders, and Malaysian aircrafts get shot down as a result, and while a humanitarian crisis rages at our southern border, the occupier, our fundraiser-in-chief, he's not about the photo op, but he's not about to miss a party. Going to take a quick break, and after that, we'll talk a little bit about Rick Perry and what he's done, and we'll continue. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Into the truth. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog post and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth right here on Spreaker Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for staying with us. Don't know where that last clip of music necessarily came from. That's a little more techno than I'm used to having here in the bumper rotation. But on the subject of the music, I would like to remind everybody that the music you hear during the bumper rotation here all comes from a service called Magnatune. Magnatune works with independent artists, folks that are out there trying to make a living off their music the non-traditional route. They don't have major labels and all that wonderful stuff. But by using that service and working with them, making sure that they get their due, they get their money, they get paid, they have that opportunity to actually make that living. At any rate, let's get back to the topics. Okay, we were talking about the fundraiser-in-chief primarily, the occupier, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, or whatever alias he's going by, whatever social security number he's using at the moment. He refused to visit the border. You know, and this is old news at this point. Everybody has talked this to death. I know, I understand. But you know, this still comes back to the image that we're seeing. Because What's the story? How is everything being painted? Well, everybody wants to talk right now about how terrible all Republicans are because Governor Rick Perry of Texas sent 1,000 Texas National Guard members to the border. And reports were coming from the lieutenant governor today that Texas has effectively closed its border with Mexico. There's been all kinds of talk about it before it actually took place. People were insinuating that in an effort to sidestep the governor's efforts that the administration might call up the Texas National Guard for active duty service. So, in effect, they would have to answer directly to the occupier as opposed to the governor. And all this is in an effort to try and make Rick Perry look like an extremist, like a madman, and a hater. Because, you know, the Republican Party, which I'm not all that necessarily concerned about the party, conservatives in general continue to get a bad rap as hating everything. We're all just a bunch of old white men and can't stand for anybody that's not like us to even be in the room. Arr, arr, arr. In fact, all day yesterday, in case any of you missed it, I happened to come across it after the fact, all day yesterday, Stephen King, novelist Stephen King, whom I actually happen to enjoy a lot of his earlier work, his more recent stuff has been lacking ever since he recovered from the accident where he was hit by the van. He's not been the same person. But personal critiquing aside, he has made it quite clear in the past through his public statements and through his Twitter account that he's a very liberal-minded person, and that's all well and good. But he was tweeting all day yesterday about how it's just not very Christian-like, the stance that most conservatives are taking about the border issue and all these children. A lot of really stupid stuff, because I mean, it's almost like nobody has noticed most of what's actually happening to help these kids isn't being done by the government, but is being done by private charities. In fact, Mercury One, most known through the country for being associated with Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck himself actually went down. They were down there, and they've been trying to make sure that these kids who have been isolated by our government, divided, and families split apart because they're being kept in rooms based on age. So if you've got an 8-year-old and you were sent here with your 5-year-old sibling, from the minute you got put in one of these detention areas, which for whatever reason the media is still not allowed in, and congressmen and senators have been denied access, and nobody's allowed to see what's going on in these places, and it's only people who are working in them and coming out and telling what horrible things are going on that we have any idea that this is happening. They're being isolated. They're being left in rooms. They're being kept from a lot of the clergy in the area. A lot of organized churches have wanted to reach out and try and help these kids. A lot of these people they're being denied contact. They're being denied human contact. Basic human contact. And I'm sorry, if you're 5 years old, thousands of miles away from your home, no idea what's happened to your family since you've left, and you're not even allowed a hug from somebody that might be willing to give you one, what the heck? That's certainly not very Christian-like, but what has happened is there are certain groups, certain organizations that have went down there, and on the topic of Glenn Beck, Glenn Beck has taken a lot of heat from certain conservatives over his willingness to go down there and help, to give sandwiches and bring soccer balls and things of that nature to these kids. And he's taken that heat because a lot of folks see this as being pro-amnesty. And it's not. He's actually doing the right thing. You know, I'm not on the Glenn Beck bashing team. Now, anybody that wants to question what his motives are, go ahead. Anybody who wants to question whether or not it's the right thing to do, go ahead, ask the question. Think about it. Make a determination. And then once you're finished, once you have that determination, then act on it. Because this is a personal thing. I can see the argument about how this looks like you're still encouraging more people to come because you're willing to help them. But if you paid attention to what Mr. Beck has been saying, he said from the very beginning, these kids have to go back. They can't stay. I ruffled some feathers myself just the other day. I haven't spent a whole lot of time on social media since my time away from the show, but I was on social media the other day, and it was in a moment of utter frustration. And I got some feedback. Some good feedback. Most of my Facebook friends was positive feedback, but not a whole lot there. Got some private messages from folks, but sent it out basically on Twitter too, and I ruffled some feathers there. I got some direct messages from some folks, some of them rather harsh, but for those of you who haven't checked it out, this was on my personal accounts, by the way, not the show's account, but I said, you know, the bottom line is we should not be the world's policeman, and we certainly can't be the world's nursemaid. Enough is enough. Close the border now. Because that's what the government should do. These kids are facing conditions that, from a human standpoint, certainly can't be much better than what they're leaving. But once they're here, it would be absolutely inhuman not to offer these kids basic assistance. I mean, that's what we do. That is the essence of America. I mean, every time you look around, there's a natural disaster somewhere. We want to help. We've talked about it before on this show, and when I've had the opportunity to be a guest on other shows, we've talked about how it is, in essence, at least within the United States. I don't think it's exclusive to us. I think most Western civilizations, people feel the same way towards wanting to help. There are people in this country that I know, and I keep saying in this country because I know these people personally. There are people here that I know personally that see somebody facing a disaster, and they will give more than they can honestly afford, because at that moment in time, they are better off than these people they see that need help. We talk time and time again, it is essentially a conservative mantra. It is not the role of government to provide charity. These kids need charity. They need help. So when people get together, whether it's Glenn Beck, or if Rush Limbaugh wanted to do it, or even if some of these folks on the ultra-left who mostly talk about how cold-hearted conservatives are, decided to do something more than talk about it or visit for a few minutes, if they would go down there, that would still be it, because the private sector, private charity, should be what's dealing here. And then once these kids are stabilized, healthy enough to travel, they should be on their way back home, because there cannot be this continued ignoring of the rule of law. And ultimately, that's what this still comes down to. It is a matter of the rule of law. We are a nation of laws. We should be a nation of laws. We cannot let ourselves become a nation of men. We cannot allow ourselves to become a nation of characters. We can't allow ourselves to become a nation of personalities. And unfortunately, we're a long way down that path. Personality is the new social clout. When you have networks that used to be about quality, like Bravo, or networks that used to be dedicated to teaching, like TLC. Remember when that actually stood for the Learning Channel? I do. When you have shows like Honey Boo Boo or Party Down South, which I personally find very offensive, being from the South, because this continues this characterization. I was trying to say caricature and then characterization and mingle it into one word, and I realized it's probably not a good idea. Wish I had realized that before I tried it. At any rate, here we are. We're going down this, and it's all about personality. You got Tony Dungy taking flack over a comment involving whether or not he would have drafted an openly gay football player. He said no because it would have been a distraction. Now, anybody who knows Tony Dungy's coaching style, he's not big on distractions. But they want to make it about him being a devout Christian and about how Christians hate. At the same time, they want to talk about how bad Israel is because Hamas is a victim. But where's the leadership? Where is the leadership? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're off at another fundraiser. And while, of course, everybody's emails can be saved except for Lois Lerner's, and everybody's cell phone communications can be recorded, we can't figure out simple things like how to close a border. Anyway, I kind of drifted off during my monologue, but here's the point that we were going to get to. We're talking about Texas having closed its border. I want to know what you guys think, so if you catch the show on podcast later, feel free to shoot me an email, and I'll still be discussing this. Obviously, this is going to be a hot topic for a while. I want to know what you guys think about what Governor Perry's done. Because the humanitarian thing here, to my mind, and feel free to disagree with me, like I say at the close of every show, don't just take my word for it. To my mind, the very first thing that we can do, humanitarian-wise, is stop this constant inflow. Because there's a multitude of things going on at the border right now. It's not just kids that are coming across, first and foremost. I know a lot of people early on in this crisis wanted to focus on the fact that there are folks from Muslim nations. And when I say Muslim nations, I specifically mean not just Arab states, but Arab states that are theocracies in which Islam is practiced in a hardcore fashion. Okay? In essence, this is a nice way of saying there are people who most likely are terrorists coming here to kill Americans that are slipping across the border while this is happening. There are gang members, self-admitting gang members. People admitting now that, yeah, I kill people. They're coming across. These are adults. We've got people that are coming across. Some kids, some adults. With TB. Some of them, and we've all seen the pictures at this point, some of these kids with lice so bad that you could see the bugs crawling down their face. When they took the little combs over, as soon as they flipped the hair just a little bit underneath the surface, it looked like they were all in their freaking 80s or 90s because their hair was so white. Although, before they flipped it over, you could obviously tell these kids had very dark hair. So from a humanitarian standpoint, the first thing we have to do is send the message to the rest of Central America that enough is enough. We're not going to do this anymore. We're closing this down. We're going to close the border until we get this taken care of. And when these kids get better, we're sending them back. That's the humanitarian thing to do. We've got to take care of the kids that are here, though. We can't just turn our backs on them, folks. Come on. It doesn't matter why they're here. Because it's not the kids' fault. The kids. Hey, understand, I am focusing on the kids. Adults who are coming across the border, immediately deported. It should be that simple. The ones that are known criminals, immediately deported. It should be that simple. It has been in decades past. Why isn't it now? What is the agenda? Because there obviously is one. What's the other option? There has to be an agenda. You need to ask yourself, what is it? I mean, these are smart people. And I think we're beyond the point in time, and I've expressed this before, I don't believe in unintended consequences anymore. I don't think there are any laws that are being passed that have unintended consequences. I think they take a lot of time to walk through this, and they know what is and isn't in a bill. Mimi Pelosi can say we need to pass the bill to find out what's in it all she wants to. That's crap. Maybe she personally doesn't know, because I wouldn't expect her to take the time to read a 13,000-page monstrosity. But the people who wrote it know, and the people who wrote it still work for the legislature and the executive branch, depending on who's pushing a particular law. So they know what they're getting. There are no more unintended consequences. I just don't believe it. We saw that kind of stuff and bought it in the 50s and 60s and even into the 70s. By the 80s, people were becoming a little more conscious of the fact that it seemed not likely that these people didn't realize what they were opening themselves up to. But more to the point, what they were opening us up to. Us, we, the people, again, the actual nation, the country, we, the people. We have a person occupying the White House who has literally spent more time at parties or on vacation than doing his job. I'm not certain he would have known how to do the job anyway. Well, let's face facts, he came from out of nowhere, politically speaking. His time in the Illinois State House, not particularly momentous. His time as a junior senator, again, not particularly momentous. What qualified him to run as President of the United States? He gave a pretty speech at the Democratic National Convention when they decided that Mr. Curry was going to be their nominee. Really? One good speech at a national convention and suddenly you're a candidate? Of course, it's not like they had a lot of great candidates running at the time either, but that's another point. So here we are. We come back to it. What's the question? Is Rick Perry a heartless monster for closing the Texas border? How will the drama proceed? Will Obama get miffed if it actually does slow the border crossing? Will he call up the troops? The Constitution's clear on the matter. The states have the right to defend their own borders when the federal government is unable or unwilling. The people of Texas, well, they're a different breed in Texas. And aside from a few bastions of liberal thinking, like Dallas, for example, aside from those few locations, most Texans are about liberty and about taking care of themselves. So you pull those National Guard troops off, Mr. Obama, and I guarantee you, Mr. Perry, Governor Perry, will find another way to man that border. They're already using wildlife resource agents to help patrol the waterways. They're doing everything they can. They're using the manpower they have, and they will find more ways to do it because Texas has decided it's going to end. I think it's really only a matter of time before Arizona follows suit. I doubt seriously that California or New Mexico will. So the choke points get moved off a little. But is Rick Perry a monster, or is he a man of vision? Personally, I just think he's a politician that's following the will of the people that he represents. It's possible it could be political theater. He could just be looking at another run at the White House. But all in all, the first act of compassion, the first humanitarian gesture here has to be closing the border. We have to send the clear message that we're not taking any more of these kids, so stop risking their lives by sending them here. The really nasty picture that's being painted that nobody really wants to talk about is not all these kids are making it. But as far as anybody that wants to give grief to those that feel compelled to assist these children, come on. Bottom line there is these kids did not send themselves here. Somebody sent them. You want to charge them criminally? Go ahead. Child endangerment, at the very least. Now, you're going to be hard-pressed tracking down families in Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Uruguay, Paraguay, Guatemala. But yeah, it is a crime. It is absolutely criminal what has been done to these kids. But once they're here, we do have a human responsibility to help them. But most importantly, once they are stabilized and healthy enough to travel, they shouldn't be traveling to sanctuary locations inside the states. They should be traveling back home. Like I said, if you're catching this show on the podcast or you're catching it later, shoot me an email over at ttap@tapintothetruth.com. Would love to hear your comments on it, and we will talk about it later. The better comments I will mention on the air and mention you by name. Do, however, please refrain from profanity or I will ignore it, even if you have a good point. Ultimately, though, it still comes down to this. There is no leadership from the White House. Leadership is about more than casting a vote. Leadership is about more than wearing a suit. Leadership is more than deciding who can raise the most money. We have a person occupying the White House that is more concerned about his image and the agenda than he is concerned about the well-being of American citizens or even the Constitution of the United States. Can and should Barack Obama be impeached? Yes, most definitely. Impeachment proceedings should proceed. Not because I'm some partisan hack who doesn't like him personally, because I don't know him personally, but because at every step of the way he has made determinations that certain laws will be enforced and certain laws will be ignored at his choosing. Not only is that a clear violation of his oath of office, in a lot of instances, it is flat-out criminal, protecting Eric Holder in the Fast and Furious scandal, as an example. a new critical hit to Obamacare, in so much as the fact that he decided, and it was an executive order from him, that much has come out now, he decided that even though the Affordable Health Care Act specifically said that only tax credits would be given to those who bought through state exchanges, that it would not be available to those who bought their policies through the national exchange, he decided that it would be anyway. So now everybody that's in a state that doesn't have an exchange is in flux. You had one court ruling that says, nope, this is not legal. Then you had another court ruling that said, well, it should be available for everyone, whether their state set one up or not. Well, you can think that it should be, but in a nation of laws, it's what the law says that matters. And the law says if you buy through the federal exchange, you don't get those tax credits. Now, and I'm not arguing that people shouldn't be eligible for it. What I'm arguing is that the law says this. That's the law. What Barack Obama should have done is sent his team of minions to the Congress and to the House and said, okay, here, we need to amend the law so that we can do this. But he didn't do that. He made an imperial decree. At every step of the way, he violates almost everything that is presidential. He ignores our Constitution. He ignores the will of the people in many cases. Although, to be completely fair there, I don't think there's very many people in the cesspool that is D.C. that still hears the will of the people. And that happens on both sides of the aisle. But at this point, I'm going to issue a plea. If you want to be the president, if you want this job that you've been given twice, at some point you really need to step up and do it. No more fundraisers when the world is on fire. Now, some people are going to say, okay, no more fundraisers. Yeah, right. I'm not saying no more fundraisers. I am saying no more fundraisers while the world is on fire. When something is happening that you need to be, at the very least, at the Situation Room getting a briefing, then you should be there instead of out partying with Beyonce or Jay-Z. When you are literally a few hundred miles from the Texas border during the middle of a, in your own words, Mr. Occupier, a humanitarian crisis, then maybe, you could arrive at the fundraiser a little bit late because you took a trip down to see what's going on. Do something presidential. All right, going to take a quick break, and right after that, we'll be right back, so stay with me.
Into the Truth. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog post and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth right here on Spreaker Radio.
All right, folks, we're back. Thanks for staying with us. And again, I'm just going to wrap things up real quick. The bottom line here is we have an issue of lack of leadership. And I really I'm asking for two things tonight. If you are still a supporter of this president, if you still think he is doing a fantastic job, I want you to shoot me an email over at ttap@tapintothetruth.com. Or you can go to the Tap Into the Truth Facebook page and send me a message there. You can post there. I want to hear why you think he's still doing a good job. If you think Governor Rick Perry is a monster for closing the Texas border, I want to hear why you think that too. Because those of you that have the best submissions, we'll talk about, I'll mention you by name, and we might even try and get one or two of you live on the air at some point. Because we need to have the discussion. The discussion needs to be made. I really don't understand how anybody can still be supporting this man. I understand what the party does. Okay? Because he's the guy. And when you're the guy, that's the horse you rode in on. That's what you got to do. You back the big man's play until he's not the man anymore. I get that. But as far as average, everyday Americans who are out here, if you still think this man is doing a good job as president, I really, really want to hear from you, because I don't get it. And I'm not going to disrespect you. I want to have a dialogue. I want to find out what it is that this man has done that you still find redeeming. That's all. So don't be afraid. Don't be timid. You got an open invite. In the meanwhile, you know, that's going to have to be it for tonight. But as I am very fond of saying, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Take a little time, put in a little bit of your own effort, do your own research. Because that is the only way you can ever really expect to tap into the truth. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you again real soon.
Love drunk. So